Tonight on Pretty Late, it's Freak Out Friday. We've got our Wine and Wine Down segment with Danneberger Wines. And with plenty to catch up on in the nation's capital, we've got our political roundtable with Eric Elk, Ken Jacobowski, and Dave Lundy. All that and more tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us Pretty Late. I hope you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. And don't forget, if you have to get out of your car or if you, you have to drift off, we want to make sure you know the rest of the show is available on iTunes. Go to iTunes and look for WGN Radio, Patty Vasquez. I was at a party tonight, a reunion for the lifeguards at North Avenue Beach, and a bunch of the guys were saying, you're on too late. I'm not awake that late at night. And I took their phones and I went to their app stores and went to their iTunes app or their podcast app and subscribed them to my podcast. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. It's just so funny and sweet that they think the only opportunity they have now is to listen live. Things have changed. And let's say you have an Alexa or if you have Echo, you got a Google Mini, just say WGN Radio. Hey, Google, play WGN Radio, or hey, Echo, or Alexa, or whatever your name is, play WGN Radio. And by the way, you can also watch us on the live stream and see the great folks who are on Michigan Avenue tonight enjoying the beautiful Chicago evening on Michigan Avenue. And speaking of a beautiful evening, we have on the line with us Susan Danneberger from Danneberger Family Vineyards. She has an assignment that I want to know how much of it she was able to finish. Susan Danneberger joins us on the line. How are you doing tonight, Susan?
I'm great. How are you?
I have to tell you, please. I have to tell you that this is my favorite segment of the week. But I have to laugh because Ernie, our engineer, is sneaking around my studio. I have all my Halloween candy that was left in my house, and he's like, "Which one can I have?" And you can have all of this, Ernie. There's like 5,000 pieces of candy in the studio right now. Grab all of that. Susan, next year for Halloween.
I wish I was there.
I wish you were too. And by the way, for Halloween next time, you're going to have to pair wines with our Halloween candy. We'll figure that out. I'm sure you already do that, don't you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
For Netflix and, well, this is Binge and Uncork. We have given you another assignment. And what was our assignment for you this time, Susan?
The Punisher.
The Punisher. So I've only seen a couple of these episodes.
Elliot chose it.
Well, it cracks me up because Elliot's not here tonight. He has an event tomorrow morning. And that would have been great. You know what? By the way, Elliot, if you're listening, you should definitely call in so you can talk to Susan about The Punisher. Because here's my thing. I was like, my gosh, I haven't even finished Jessica Jones yet. And then I didn't watch Luke Cage. And I did try to catch up on Defenders. How many of these series, the Marvel series on Netflix, have you watched?
I've watched Jessica Jones. I love Iron Fist, The Defenders. I had not watched this one yet. And the other one with the blind guy, I had just barely started on it, so this kind of made me delve into it. And I have to say, this was harder than Ozark.
Really? Oh, to pair a wine with?
I thought so. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
It was brutal.
We were like, "Where's the bourbon?"
I know. It needed something really. Well, and then every once in a while, some of the scenes would be kind of lighthearted. So you'd be like, "I'm confused. Which way should I go?" It was a tough one. I can
imagine. Wait. So let's let people know. Can you give a little bit of a description of The Punisher? Because, Jessica Jones is based on these are all Marvel characters. They're all in the Marvel universe. They're sort of, there's the X-Men. There's all the other, we have the Avengers. And then you have this sort of class. They're not necessarily superheroes. They're people, they seem like average people, but they have superpowers, right? I can't remember what the terminology is for them. But they, whether it's Daredevil or, like I said, Jessica Jones, they have specific powers to them, and some of them fight crime, some of them don't want to have anything to do with this. Obviously Daredevil fights for justice. Punisher is a little bit different, and what did you think about that as far as everything?
So the Punisher, this guy Frank, he was a Marine, and he's kind of fighting for justice, I guess. He was trying to fight for justice. His family was killed, and then he started realizing that it was even bigger than what he thought it was, so he's going after everyone. And it just becomes this huge, government thing. And
oh.
He's brutal. I've never seen anyone fight. And I've never seen so much blood.
Never? Like, not even in the first few minutes?
Watching.
That's good. Did you watch the entire season?
I did. I finished the last one tonight.
And I think Elliot's calling right now, by the way, to join our conversation.
Oh, good.
Yes, I was like, Elliot, I love that I put the bat signal out and on, and like Elliot's like, okay, I shall show up. So this one, so you watch every episode, and I do feel like I hope I'm not having a negative impact on your life as far as being able to get through your day and get work done.
It's research. I have to do it. It's work.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, too, this is totally something that you can do speeches on and give presentations at all the conventions that you go to. You've got to submit for this. Please do. It's brilliant. And the creator of this segment is on the line with us as well. Elliot, who not only created the segment, but also gave you the assignment. Elliot, we're sad to miss you tonight, but I'm glad you heard me put out the bat signal for you.
Yeah, well, of course. You know, it's hard to miss. So
when I say, Elliot, please call us, it's hard to miss. Fair enough.
Yeah, well, you say my name three times, it's like Beetlejuice. So
she has watched the entire season of Punisher, Elliot. Have you had a chance to watch any of this?
I have not been able to watch the whole season. So, Susan, you've outdone me. I'm humbled.
Oh, my
right
gosh.
Now.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. You're right, though. It is pretty... It gets pretty brutal there, and
oh,
I was like,
goodness.
"Wow!" I'm like, "Gee, wine? I need like several bottles of something to make it through episodes." So
now I feel like I have two experts on the line, right? We have our expert on wine, and we have our comic book geek expert, Elliot Serrano. So let me start with you for a second. How do you explain this Marvel genre of shows that they have on Netflix? Whether it's Jessica Jones, Defenders, Luke Cage, Daredevil. How do we explain this world to people who maybe aren't familiar, but maybe want to, you know, try a bottle of wine, Dannenberger Family Vineyards wine, and try out the series? How do we explain this?
Well, it's kind of like, so you compare the television shows with the movies, right? So if the Marvel movies are that nice steak dinner, right, that you treat yourself to every once in a while, the television shows are a decent hamburger, you know, that you get every other day. Because, you know, they're not quite on the same level, and they are of varying quality.
Yes.
Like Punisher is probably one of the better ones. Yes, it's pretty brutal, but it's being recognized as one of the better of the Marvel Netflix series. Iron Fist, not so much. A lot of people didn't care that much for that one. Defenders, people like. Jessica Jones, people really liked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on, you know, what you like. So it's... you were talking about, like, you know, what are the different characters? Because now it's not just Netflix these days. It's also they have shows on Fox. They have shows on Amazon. Amazon's going to be a new thing. There's going to be a Hulu show, shows on Hulu. Everyone's getting on board with the TV superhero shows. The word is mutants, by the way. For
mutants, okay.
Oh, mutants.
How did they get mutated?
You're born that way.
Okay.
Like, you know, you have a particular gene that's in you, and... when you hit puberty, boom, your powers activate.
Okay.
So, Elliot, what is Frank, the main character's mutation? Because, I mean, basically he can just kick ass. So
yeah, he's just angry. That's his mutation. He's just like a really angry dude. it's funny because the Frank Castle character, the Punisher, he is like the Death Wish character, like the Charles Bronson of Marvel.
Okay.
He's inspired by that sort of genre, you know, so it's like they thought, hey, we're going to have this sort of vigilante type guy who doesn't follow the rules and just shoots people, and he's going to be in Marvel.
Everybody hates him.
They're supposed to, because he actually started out as a villain. He was a Spider-Man villain when he was first introduced. And everyone was like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah, he was a villain, and now everyone loves the dude. You know, so, yeah, go figure.
Well, there you go. So it's a vigilante. Is it vigilante, or is he all just about revenge and anger, or is it partly social justice for others? What is the nut of this?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, really, it depends on who's writing him. You know, I mean, the way he's in the television show, in the new television show, it is more of a justice thing, because it's not so much him going after the mob as... as a big government conspiracy thing, you know, on a television show.
Right.
But in the comic books, it was always the mob.
Yeah, I felt sympathetic for him the whole time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, my gosh, this poor guy, even though he's killing and beating up people and just all these gross ways, I was like, the poor guy is just misunderstood.
Well, is it a spoiler if I say why he's so misunderstood and it's such a sad character, Elliot? Or do we already say that? Is it a spoiler if I tell the audience why he's so angry and misunderstood, or do we already touch on that?
Well, everyone knows
his family.
Yeah, it was his family. I mean, again, that's the Charles Bronson Death Wish character. His family was killed by, you know, some street punks, right?
Yeah.
And so he goes wreaking vengeance on crime in the streets. In the comic books, Frank Castle, former Marine, it's the mafia that kills his family. And so he has a vendetta against the mafia. But, you know, to keep him up with the times, because let's face it, the mafia isn't that, you know, big a deal anymore. Make it the government, you know.
Okay, so now we're caught up a little bit on what The Punisher's about. I need to take a break here. Can you both on the line so we can find out which wine and the different choices, the variations in which Susan approached her pairing of Binge and Uncork. Elliot Serrano joins us on the line. He's our chief geek officer. And we have Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Go to DFV. Is it DFV.com is the full website?
DFV-wines.com.
Ah, there you go. DFV-wines.com. See, I always feel like I'm saying it wrong because I don't make sure we get it correct. You got to check out the website, find out how you can send wines as a gift for the holidays, and also get down to the vineyard and see what they have going down there. There's always so many great events. They've moved the music venue indoors. We're all going to do a road trip soon. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining us on the line is our Chief Geek Officer, Elliot Serrano, who had an assignment for the segment he created, the Binge and Uncork segment that we've been doing every Friday. Quickly has become one of our favorite segments of the week, sponsored by Dannenberger Family Vineyards. It's time to wine and wine down. And Susan Dannenberger was given the assignment to watch The Punisher, and you've enjoyed it. It's a rough show, a lot of gore, a lot of violence, right?
I'm glad I had 2 weeks, though, because it did take a little longer.
Yeah. I watched the first episode, and I was like, I need to watch some cartoons now.
I know, the weather's been so gorgeous, this weather. You can't believe this weather. And I was hoping, I need a light-bodied wine for this weather. But no, this show is not a light-bodied wine.
No. Okay. So it's brutal. But in a way that, I mean, do you feel like when you were watching the show, like there's also, it's kind of cathartic in a way?
Oh yeah. And you want to love him.
Right.
Like, even though you're seeing all these awful things, you just also want to love him because they have these, they did a great job with the flashbacks. In fact, that was probably one of my favorite parts of the show was the flashbacks. I wonder if Elliot would agree. Just him flashing back and you kind of see peaks of his previous life. And I thought they did a really nice job with that. So it kind of lightened things up a little because it was just too intense otherwise.
Were you kind of like, let's just live here for a while. Can we live in the past for a little bit and just pretend none of that other stuff is coming? So what were the different wines that you initially tried to pair with this?
Well, I was hoping, a white, but that was not going to work. And so I was thinking more along the lines of something like lighter, like our Violetta Femme, which is a Barbera. And it wasn't just, you know, it has a smoky quality. I thought that might work, but it ended up being Scarlet Letter. And it was funny after I realized that one, it's in our tasting room, that one is either people love it or they just, it's not. It's too much for them. Like, they just can't handle it. And I'm like, that's what this show is. I was reading the reviews on the show, and the reviews were like, people either love the show or it's just way too intense. And I was like, yeah, that's it. Scarlet Letter. It's got to be that one. It's really prolific. It's got this spiciness. It did well at the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, but, it, you know, some other people, it's just like, nope, got it. I can't do it. It's too much.
It was a little overpowering for some people.
It is. It can be overpowering, just like the show.
I love that then. So Scarlet Letter with the Punisher. That sounds kind of poetic, doesn't it, Elliot?
Yeah, it does, well, right?
I was going to say, so you're having a somewhat intense wine, right? And you're watching an intense show. So, of course, you know, the fat boy in me is going to ask, what snack went with that?
Oh, gosh, this is so bad.
Was there, like, a cheese? Was there chocolate? Was there, like, nachos? I don't know. I mean, what would you have, you know, along this to help you through?
That's so funny that you would say that. So have you seen in the store they're, like, brownie bites, except they're flat?
Yes.
I'm like, okay, those?
Okay.
They have a nice crunch to them, and you're kind of, like, nibbling on the edges of it. Well, you're like, oh, my gosh. Oh, and then, yeah. So that went great.
It's like a brownie crisp almost, right?
Yeah, it's like a brownie crisp. Yeah, that. And then really over-buttered salty popcorn.
Oh,
those are the two things.
Man, Elliot, we don't just need to do a road trip down there to check out the great venue. We need to just, like, curl up in front of the television with a bottle of wine and some brownie bites and overly buttered and salted popcorn with Susan, don't you think?
Yeah, and Susan, come on, you got to give me something that will go with nachos, because I'm suddenly craving nachos now.
So. Ooh, you need a Tempranillo with that.
Oh, here we go. See?
Perfect. The Soleil Noir would be perfect with that.
Wow, I can throw pretty much anything in front of you, and you've got an answer for it. That's incredible. Wow.
We spent so much time at Davis trying to figure out, like, foods and wines, you know, working on sensory analysis. So I just pops in my head. I'm like, oh, immediately.
Too funny. Now it's a lot of pressure. Now we need to give you another. Oh, no. I don't know if you've already seen this show or not. I think you did for your next show. Did you already see the series Glow?
No.
Yay. We finally have a light one to give you, because I feel like we gave you two heavy ones back to back. I think Glow is okay. I feel good, because I mean, I know that you've enjoyed this, and I know that it's also been a little.
Have.
But this Glow is I think they're shorter episodes, but it's the Glorious Ladies of Wrestling, or the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. So it's about.
I did not see that coming.
I know. It's about it's about female professional wrestlers in the 1980s and how that came about and the casting for it and the battles. And, like, it's so much. Okay, I'm not going to tell you anymore. But
I'm thinking Riesling.
Okay.
Riesling. Thinking Riesling.
I think a Riesling would
it's
be
sweet.
Like,
it's good.
But you need some. It's also tough. And there's some bitterness in there, too. So I don't know. You have to see what that is. So that's the assignment for next Friday night, is going to be Glow. And I think there's only 8 episodes. So that should be good. Right, so that all works out.
Okay.
And Elliot, you have to watch it too. So by next Friday, I need you to watch some of that.
That one's in my queue. No, definitely in my queue, because I'm one of those, because I was a huge wrestling fan as a kid. I watched the actual Glow show when it was on television.
Perfect. Oh, I'm so excited. So for those of you catching up, for Binge and Uncork, Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards has recommended The Scarlet Letter with Punisher, and we'll find out next week what she recommends for Glow on Netflix. Susan, you have a wonderful weekend. Everyone go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com for all the great wines that they have there and find out more about them. And also the great the music venue that they have. They have an open mic on Tuesdays. They've got great bands coming in tomorrow and next week. And Susan, we wish you the very best and look forward to talking to you next Friday.
Thanks. Great to talk to you, Elliot. Good night, Patty. Cheers.
Good night. Cheers. And Elliot, you have an event tomorrow. Do you want to let people know before we let you go and before Dan Long's head explodes against the producer's booth window, because I have to get to the break?
It'll be the holiday-themed Kids Who Care at the Anti-Cruelty Society in the morning. We're going to have some holiday fun with a bunch of young kids and their families. And our Santa Paws is going to show up to take pictures with the kids.
Santa Paws? I got to see. What time is that at the Anti-Cruelty Society?
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. All right, 10 a.m., Anti-Cruelty Society, Kids Who Care, Santa Paws will be there, and so will Elliot. Follow him on Instagram, and follow Dannenberger Family Vineyards at DFV Wines on Instagram and social media. Follow Elliot and see the adventures of Sinbad, the survivor. Have a great weekend, you guys. Miss you both, and I'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Miss you, bye.
Good night, bye. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Thank you to our listeners who were calling in asking if everything was all right. I took last night off. Yesterday was the first time in my 4 years at WGN Radio I decided to take a sick day. And I hit a wall yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been kind of burning the candle at all six ends. And I just decided that was it. I came in early and did the Mincing Rascals with John Williams. You can go to WGNRadio.com, watch some of the video, and listen to the podcast. So we did that at 11 a.m., and then I stayed around, and I did some work. I did some promo stuff with Duffy, our amazing production guy, and wanted to get some things out of the way for next week. And then we kicked off the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb kickoff dinner. We welcomed some of the corporations that have been amazing and instrumental in making sure we've raised money for research and support. WGN Radio and WGN Television has raised over $60,000 in the last several years, and we cannot thank the United Healthcare Organization and all the other companies that have helped us out along the way. And the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb is coming up on March 11th. I'll start training next week. So I did that. And then it was Prosecco's 10th anniversary, and they invited me to that dinner.
Uh-oh.
And then I was like, I am so done now.
And didn't you do Cochrane? Didn't I see you with
Cochrane? I started with Cochrane's show. That's how long yesterday was. I forgot.
Yeah, that's a long day.
So I was all set to go from 9 a.m. until 2 a.m. And then I said, oh, you know what? I don't think I can do that.
You looked a little peaked.
I was exhausted yesterday. Yeah, I was burnt out. So my boss, Stephanie, said, do you want to – I have altogether 15 days I can take for the rest of the year. And I thought, well, I should probably use one of those because they don't roll over.
There's not too many more left.
I was going to say you 30 barely
days
have
left. So.
I'm only taking one more Friday off for the rest of the year, and that's the Friday before Christmas. So the 22nd is the next Friday I'll take off. But I do have a bunch of Mondays and other days I'm taking off between now and then because I can't miss you guys and I can't miss Dannenberger Family Vineyards. You guys all have to watch GLOW, too, so you can join our conversation.
Ooh.
And
the Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling?
Yes, it's so good.
On Netflix?
It's so good.
Wait, no, it's not really.
It's a series.
Is it really?
Oh,
it's a series?
Yes, it's Mad Men.
But is it really GLOW as in Glamorous Ladies
of Wrestling?
It's called
GLOW. It's about the beginning of
there used to be a thing called Glamorous.
It is about that.
Yeah. Oh, it's about that.
It's about that. It's about the guy who started it and was casting the women to be the wrestlers. It's, Dave, if you liked GLOW, you will love this series. Or if you had any, even if it was sort of for the campiness of it, the fun of it, you have to watch GLOW.
I was a teenage boy.
It's so good. You have to watch. Okay, that's your assignment for next week. At least the first episode.
Okay.
Because if you watch the first episode, I'm going to say you're going to finish the eighth episode by the time you come back next Friday.
No way. Really?
Yes. Oh, so good. I loved it. Mark Maron is in it, and he's amazing in it. So good. Yes. Please.
We'll check it out.
Roger Badish has entered the studio. He's handing out scripts for What's That From? Coming up later. We don't know when yet.
This is the earliest I've ever seen a script.
I asked Roger before the show.
In advance.
Well, because here's what happens.
It's all cold read.
I don't decide until about midnight that I want to do a specific movie. Yeah. And then Michael's like, I can't find that. And then we've missed an opportunity to ask Rod for Roger's help. So this time I got ahead of the game. Yeah. And instead of sending Dan down the rabbit hole of madness that I was going to send him on, which is kind of like the way my brain works, I asked Roger for some help.
But see where this has come from, though?
You had a day off.
You took a day off.
I
you got sleep.
Off.
Sleep, REM sleep. And look, you come back, you're sharp. You've got scripts an hour and a half early.
Can we talk about how much candy there is in the studio for a moment?
Insane.
My mom takes care of the trick-or-treaters at home, right? Because we are either...
Apparently not well enough.
Well, she said, take the candy out of my house and give it to your friends. Let them eat this garbage.
So if Patty sounds a little hyper, there is a stack of candy next to her that is about a foot high, maybe 3 foot in circumference.
What do you think? About
10 pounds.
Give, take, 3,000? No, about 1,000 pounds.
I just had some sweetest fish.
Starburst, Nerds, Skittles, M&M's, Almond Joy, M&M Nuts and Plains, $100,000 bar, York Peppermint Patties, Milky Way, Snickers. What are these? Sweet Tarts.
Sweet Tarts?
Swizzlers. Almond Joy.
Great Nerds.
I resemble that remark.
Jolly Rancher. If you had this much sugar, you'd really be jolly.
Twix. Lifesaver Gummies.
Twix.
But Lifesaver Gummies.
Oh,
this
gummies.
Is
they're, Kit Kats.
Have you tried these?
Twix are over there?
Here, try the Lifesaver Gummies. Those are really good.
Here's the Twix.
Your favorite.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. The gummies. The gummy bears.
So I'm kind of on a diet, but maybe not anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm supposed to be dieting.
That just left.
How come some of these bags are empty?
Abuelita.
You know what we can do during commercial? We can all stand up and we can do, like, you know, jog in place, like you do when you
I thought you were
going to
say roll around in the candy. Like, you know,
people roll around. It justifies eating during the show.
No, we'll do that on the air.
Burn off those calories.
So we'll take a break here. I've been reading House Bill 1. I have not had a chance to read the Senate bill. I don't understand. I mean, I'm not an accountant.
You mean the Senate tax bill?
I read the House bill.
It was just published an hour and a half ago.
I know. That's why I couldn't read it.
Publish it.
So yesterday I was reading House Bill 1, trying to understand what they were like, what deductions were eliminated, what an S corp is, what, you know, any of your deductions and your
S corp.
Are you an S corp? I let my LLC lapse because I wasn't really doing anything with it. So I'm like, why would I pay this? And I'm not claiming it. I don't make enough as a LLC to maintain that tax status. So I am, aside from my income here at WGN Radio, I'm a sole proprietor and I have a Schedule C. I get 1099s. And one of the concerns that's happening for a lot of comics and performers around the country is whether or not some deductions are going to be eliminated, including travel and research and all the things that we've been told for decades counted towards our tax deductions. So that's one of the things I've been trying to learn for other comics.
A lot of that is eliminated, but they've increased the standard deduction to $24,000. So you should be thrilled.
So that means we can just standard deduction of $24,000, not to itemize it? It doesn't matter?
Correct.
It depends on...
For some people, it works out better. For some people, it works out a lot worse.
For a lot of people, it works out a lot worse.
Yeah. So I can just say, yeah, $24,000. That sounds about right. That's your standard deduction. That's way more than I was... Oh, never mind. No. Go ahead and pass that thing. More to this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, sharing my secrets with my guest, Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications and regular on the Justin Kaufman Show every Monday night, unless there's a Blackhawks game. We have Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. Fulcrum. Yes, you're Fulcrum. I'm not saying you're a fulcrum, but those are the words that you use to describe what you do. And he's also the former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. So maybe we can get some insight on what a night like tonight feels like in Washington, D.C. We also have Kendrick Gabowski, who is the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises and also a strategist for many high profile.
And the only person on the panel who has represented convicted felons who plea bargained in a public case.
That's right. So you know what today's news was like on the inside. You don't want to tell us who the person was that was plea bargaining?
No, it's a matter of public record. It's Joe Carey. I was not Joe's lawyer. I represented him in other capacities, but I went through the
whole process. You're a crisis communications expert as well.
Yeah. Joe was the key witness in the Blagojevich trial against the governor.
I'm sorry. I don't mean
See, the way it works is that I represent people like this, but I only represent the innocent. So when I get somebody who I know is guilty, I send him to Ken.
It's absolutely true.
What? You sent him Carey?
No, I didn't send him Carey, but I've sent him other people.
He sent me other guilty people. Said, Ken, right up your alley. The person's guilty as hell. They need help.
Yeah, I represent the innocent ones.
Interesting.
Well, guilty people need representation, too.
Absolutely.
Especially Ken is just the guy to do it.
And I'll be more than happy. Hey, since we have 34 seconds in counting before the next break, let me mention, before we get into all the politics, there's two other wonderful things on Netflix. First, Voyeur, which opened today.
Voyeur.
It's Gay Talese wrote a book called Voyeur. It's about a guy who ran a motel and for years had a catwalk, and he walked from room to room and spied on people having sex. Gay Talese wrote a book about it, and it's really about Gay Talese writing the book, which caused a lot of controversy.
Sure.
And Homeland is coming out in the mid-January. Another season of Homeland.
That's exciting. I'm watching.
Is it really bad?
I'm watching The Fall, by the way, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Let's take a quick break here so Dan knows I've got it done in time for other things to happen. More after this on 720 WGN. You're You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me are Dave Lundy, Eric Elk, and Kanjay Kabowski, our Friday night freakout panel. This is Friday freakout. I don't know if it's just that we're not really freaking out all the time anymore. It's that freaky things are happening.
Constantly.
All the time. I'm so tired.
It's exhausting. I mean, this week alone, the President of the United States has tweeted out racist, white supremacist, anti-Muslim fake videos.
Right.
Being called on the carpet for it by leaders around the globe, including all kinds of folks in the parliament. And that's not the most important story. I don't even think it's in the top three anymore.
No, it's not in the top three. Although I will point out, one of the reasons why this was so incendiary was because the member of parliament that was murdered, assassinated, the guy who killed her, shouted out the slogan of this group as he was shooting her. And then, I mean,
They took it very personally.
Well,
and they are taking it even today very personally. They haven't backed off. In fact, I think they're more ticked off today than they were when it actually happened. It's building. The anger is really...
Well, and he's been called on the carpet by people like Nigel Farage, who is himself... He was the leader of the Brexit movement and is himself clearly an anti-Muslim racist, and he's like, yeah, Donald, too much. When it's too much for Nigel Farage, maybe the president should look in the mirror and go, yeah, maybe I dial it back.
What did not happen today?
He didn't tweet today.
He didn't tweet? And
no, he did tweet.
Oh, they canceled any public...
They canceled all public appearances.
They were like, oh, it was a scheduling problem.
Down.
They had the whole... the media there for their Christmas party.
He was there for five minutes.
For the very, very small Christmas party.
Then went back up to the residence.
Did everybody see the photo from the Christmas party?
No, we did not.
The photo from the... I'll show you guys in the break, and you could post on Facebook. But the photo shows this massive amount of empty seats.
And, oh, I have seen that photo, yeah.
No, it's really bad, and so everybody's making fun and saying, oh, this was the largest Christmas lighting ever, but it was really, really, really small because people are disgusted by the President of the United States in Washington, D.C.
Well, I'm going to go eat some candy.
The President has had a bad week, and...
Would you like a $100,000 bar?
I would. I'm going to need
it's
that.
It's only going to get worse.
Although, apparently, I'm going to do very well if this tax bill that no one's had a chance to read goes through. I'll be just fine. I mean,
well, it's
that's a bigger deduction.
Well, it's the $75,000 that are going to pay more in taxes.
I make under $75,000, but the small business deductions will help me out tremendously. I'm looking forward to my rebate next year. Okay, let's go to the news.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about writing in the margins and whether or not that's the way you pass a bill. Do you just scribble some garbage in the margins and go, here you go, make this a law. 312-981-7200. What do you think is the biggest news of the week? Is it something that's not happening today? Is it not Flynn? Is it not the tax bill? Is there something else that you think was the big story of the week? 312-981-7200. It's our political roundtable. It's not just politics, because this has gone beyond politics. This is just what's going on in the world. 312-981-7200. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me in the studio are Kenji Kubowski, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy. They're our roundtable on Friday nights to talk about the news of the week. And we have in the past called it Freak Out Friday, but it's just that freaky things are happening. So it's not that we're freaking out. We're like, I don't know how to process any of the news anymore, Ken.
Well, this was the most momentous day. Let's put it this way. It's impossible to overstate the importance of this day for President Trump and the Trump administration. This has been the most impactful day of his presidency. Michael Flynn was as close to Donald Trump. No other person flew and spent time with Donald Trump on the campaign trail more than Michael Flynn, except for paid staffers.
But I thought the news today was that he's a former Obama a staffer.
Yeah. And
let's just say that dishonor and discredit has moved one step closer to the Oval Office.
It's peeled open the gates and the guys are walking in.
Wow.
Where it's going to go, I don't know next. Logic would tell you Jared Kushner seems to be in the crosshairs.
And what it seems today. So for those who are catching up again, I mean, like, you know, you can go the whole day and not hear this and maybe in your car and you're like, well, what happened? So Flynn has pled guilty and has been convicted of lying to the FBI
and signed a cooperation agreement with the, the Mueller folks.
Meaning that
why would he do that?
Yeah, why would he do that?
Why would he do that?
Why would be the reason, Flynn? Why would be the reason? What are some of the examples?
I can tell you, based on experience, the deal that he got was the equivalent of a jaywalking ticket. Now, they're holding it over his head. That's typically what they do. So for the next several months, there are things that they have probably agreed on.
Mm-hmm. They can rescind it at any time if they don't feel he's cooperating. Right.
If anything that he tells them or anyone else that they have that he's going to be asked to testify in front of, and that's probably the House and Senate as part of this deal, if he lies about anything, deal's done, and other charges will also come. If you to read through the plea agreement, you'll see that it mentions Turkey. He wasn't charged with anything with Turkey. It also says these are only a few of the facts that we know. They have him.
Dead to rights.
Dead to rights. And he is now going to sing.
So at this point, we have what? The president's campaign chairman? His national security advisor?
Coffee boy? Obama's aide? Are these all the
guy
titles?
Guy he barely even knows.
Guy he barely knows.
Top campaign aide?
Well, Manafort was only a part-time volunteer.
Yeah, Manafort was barely even there.
They've all either been indicted or copped a plea.
Yeah, well, and this Jared Kushner guy who's going to be next in the dock, he barely even knows that guy.
Jewish guy I'd rather not be related to?
Right,
is that going to be the title?
You know, I had heard
he's close to Ivanka. He's not close to me.
Exactly.
I had heard that Steve Bannon was not pleased with the legal counsel that the president has been getting and has been telling the president this. So this afternoon, shortly after it was announced that, you know, Flynn was pleading guilty, after Ty Cobb, the president's lawyer, put out his statement.
Every time you say that, I'm like, the Georgia peach?
Exactly, no, sorry, the Georgia peach. Breitbart started going after Cobb with his legal strategy. And apparently Cobb has been the one that's been painting the rosy picture to the president. Oh, it'll be over by the end of the year.
Cobb's the source of that.
Cobb is the source of that, not the president. President just repeating what he heard from Cobb. I have a feeling you're going to see a new lawyer in the White House before the end of the year.
What's Cobb's angle saying, like, oh, no, it's going to get worse before it gets better? Because this really seems like it's going to get worse before it gets worse.
Yeah, apparently Trump actually believed Cobb when he said, oh, yeah, Mueller will be done by Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas at the absolute worst. And everybody who's listening to that going, dude, what are you smoking?
If only he watched CNN, he would know. They said years.
At least his delusions have consistency. You know, he's consistent with it.
Well, two things are going on there. A, you get close to power. You want to speak. You want to tell power what power wants to hear. And second, I think they're living in a bubble. I think this today hit them like a ton of bricks.
No. Get out of here.
Yep, a bubble.
It's a I heard the bubble has mice and cockroaches too. Did you hear that there's like there are staffers that are complaining that the West Wing has it seems to be reflective. By the way, we do have our text line open.
There's
is your
a lot
conversation
of rats running around there.
You said it, not me. The Republican on the show said there's a lot of rats running around. I want that to be very clear. 312-981-7200. What do you think was the big news of the week? Because Flynn pleading guilty and being convicted of lying to the FBI and signing a cooperative deal seems to overshadow pretty much everything.
Well, and it brings in a lot of the other news of the week. For example, you know, last night at this time, I thought we were going to spend time talking about taxes and the New York Times story, which went into great detail about Donald Trump's efforts over several months this summer to contact virtually, it sounded like, just about anybody who had any pull over anybody who was investigating him to try to get the investigations killed. Apparently, he did that. We don't know for sure, but the speculation is that he did that, made those phone calls against the advice of his chief of staff. That's not good for the president. That's obstruction of justice and consciousness of guilt.
Okay.
Right. Trying to get the Senate to back off is not technically obstruction of justice. It is indication of his mindset. And his mindset is he wanted everybody to go away and stop asking these pesky questions.
Yeah. And then the other thing I thought we would talk about.
The law is so annoying.
Is the fact that Adam Schiff yesterday during Attorney General Sessions' testimony asked Attorney General Sessions if at any point the president had asked him to take any action that would impede or stop the Russian investigation by either the House, the Senate, or by the special counsel. and the Attorney General refused to answer.
Oh, dear.
Citing no privilege.
We're going
to refuse to answer. So those are the stories I thought we were going to discuss that have been dropped.
Hey, you just told me that a few minutes ago that I'm going to be able to claim about 8 to 10,000 more in deductions than I previously ever have. And that would save me a lot of money if this tax bill goes through in its current formation. So, I mean, from what I'm gathering from you guys, we all stand to benefit. And yet I'm not comfortable. I mean, I'm not.
Well, it's not clear who actually stands to benefit.
If just that one thing is true, the deductions for small business and self-employed goes through.
Yeah, but you're not going to. It looks like you're.
I would not. I've never deducted medical expenses.
What about mortgage?
Nope. I don't have a mortgage.
Okay. So that's very good.
Yeah.
Property taxes are
going
to be capped.
Nope. I got none of that.
Yeah. Those of us who are homeowners.
Yep. Nope. Yeah. Bummer for you. More
really
for this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me in studio are Dave Lundy, Eric L., Ken Jakubowski, and I think it's just Freaky Friday. That's what, you know, we're going to change it to Freaky Friday because I'm too tired to freak out anymore. Dave, I can't freak out.
How about Angry America?
Nah.
No.
Chagrined? How about chagrined America?
Yeah. Perplexed.
Chagrined, perplexed, confused.
Perplexed
right.
People.
So all day I was reading House Bill 1, which is the GOP's tax cut and jobs bill. There's a lot of words in this bill. There's a lot of pages. One of the things I tried doing was like, hey, maybe if I just do a keyword search. I can find the things that I'm looking for, and I end up having to go through a lot of different pages. I did learn about the deduction. I didn't realize that would apply to me. I know that that Johnson out of Wisconsin was fighting for pass-through companies to be able to have an increased deduction from 17% to 23%. I know. You didn't think I was reading this. I'm reading these things. I'm really reading this. I found out that I'm a pass-through company. I didn't realize that. Patty Vasquez is myself.
What's going to happen now is it goes to committee.
Well, so I read the House bill, but that's only because that's the only text online I could find of any of the tax bill because the Senate had not released their copy yet. And even after they did, a lot of it was written in the margins in illegible writing. So right now, Dan, if you could roll that up for us. Right now, on the floor of the Senate, they are having a debate regarding the GOP tax bill. Here we go. Let's see if we can hear any of that. This is live, everybody. You can go to, I don't know where else you can find this video other than
C-SPAN.
Oh, they're doing a roll call right now. So they're doing, why are they doing roll call on?
Ms. Hassan.
I don't think it's on the bill. I think it's on one of the many
amendments. Amendments. Yeah. So this is, they make sure that people are present. They have to make sure that they have, a quorum. Is that what they need right now?
Yeah,
Eric?
I don't know if this is a quorum
Mr.
call.
Heller.
Or,
I'm not sure which one this is.
Yeah,
or
so
if it's a vote.
Ms. Hirono.
So this is the very exciting portion of legislation, the hours and hours of reading some of this. So there are 500 pages. You can keep it up. We'll just listen
Mr.
to it in the background.
Isaacson.
If you can keep it in the background while we talk, that works. And then maybe
Johnson.
We'll hear them talk. Mr. Johnson. Is Mr. John?
Mr.
And people don't have to say present, do they? Do they have to click their button on? Do you know, Eric?
No, they don't have a button. They just... We'll give a high sign or
a
high sign, like a thumbs up or a hang loose sort of a thing, or like rock on. Do they ever do that? Do they ever do like a rock on?
I don't think I've seen them do that, but you know, usually it's
thumbs up.
Globichard.
Globichard.
Because their desks are, you know, 150 years old.
Yes,
but a lot of times they're in the well, and so they'll go to the clerk on either side and give the signal. You know, each one of them have a different way that they'll put their hand up
Mr.
or their
Markey.
Finger to signal which way they're going on this.
Well, that was like when McCain voted on the repeal of Obamacare. He walked into the, like, he walked up the aisle and nobody knew what he was going to do. And he, like, lifted his hand and, like, was very dramatic about it. And then you saw him just sort of, like, give a thumbs down, which was bizarre.
Right.
Yeah. So this is right now they've been debating on the floor of the Senate the GOP tax bill and jobs incentives. I think that's the rest of it, isn't it? Incentive.
So after this,
yes.
It goes to a joint conference.
Mm-hmm.
House members and Senate members will get together. They'll sit in a giant room with a giant conference table, and they'll literally go through the bills page by page, section by section.
Are they going to stay at this all night? Is this the...
This is an amendment.
They'll vote on the Senate bill tonight and all the amendments. Then I think next week, the conference members will be assigned, and that's when they start meeting to go through the bill.
Right.
And there are still some issues that, that could befall this whole process.
Well, I think they call those issues math.
Math is one.
Math is a big problem.
Math is a problem.
Well, and this isn't the final bill on everything to go through, because this is their bill.
This is the Senate bill.
Okay, so
the House has a bill, the Senate has a bill. Right. They now have to reconcile them and come together on one bill.
A mashup. Is there a song that goes with that?
Probably. That would be where the freakout would happen.
They're going to be do a lot of rounding. Carry the one type thing when they go through this.
Well, and today, so the markets have been doing pretty well because, in part, there have been a lot of different reasons why the markets have been doing well over the last few weeks. Yes, Eric, my 401k, I was looking at my thing. And again, honestly, though, I don't make a lot. Like my 401k, one of my investments has gone up, I think, since Trump has been in office by like $1,200 over the last 9 months. You know, and I've had that for 7 years, and that, you know, is selling our souls worth it? Is deciding that this is the country, this is who we are as Americans? I don't think my $1,200 is worth it to be these people.
No, because the analysis of the Congressional Budget Office is that those who make less than $75,000 are going to wind up paying higher taxes in order to give a tax break to the wealthiest, wealthiest, wealthiest in this country. So really what you have here is a massive transfer of wealth from the middle and lower classes to the corporations and the top 1%. You know this bill is all about corporations because the corporate tax cuts are permanent. The personal tax cuts are temporary.
Yes, those expire. For anyone who's excited. Yeah, so anyone who's excited about some of the tax breaks coming to families, to hardworking Americans, those expire. And why is there no expiration date on the corporation taxes?
Because they couldn't make the math work again.
Okay.
Otherwise, this is what I was saying to Ken when I was saying math. I was being facetious, but it's also reality because the numbers don't work here. So, for example, earlier today, Marco Rubio and I forgot somebody else tried to get them to cut the corporate tax benefits in order to give the child tax credit larger, more meaningful for people. And that was voted down because this is not about people. It's not about individuals. This is about benefits to corporations. And that's not me saying this. This is the Republicans who are saying this is what this bill is.
Because they're saying that it's a jobs incentive. They're saying that cutting the taxes for corporations
is that way.
Well, Patty, they have a theory that has never before in Western government history, not just in our country, but any other country, Europe, any Western country. The theory is that by cutting corporate taxes, money and jobs will be created.
Right.
It does not. It's never happened.
Well,
ever.
And even the CEOs are saying that they're going to buy back shares and just increase their dividends.
Yeah, this is the old trickle-down theory that Ronald Reagan tried in the 80s.
Well, the Gary Cohn, the president's chief economic advisor, presided over a meeting with 300 CEOs earlier this week. And in the meeting, he said, okay, now all of you who are going to, when we give you these great tax cuts, are going to now invest more in your workers and hire more people, raise your hand. And out of 300 people, 5 hands went up.
Right.
And Gary Cohn said, no, really, raise your hands. Anybody who's going to do this. And nobody budged because this is not going to create jobs or improve wages.
It never has historically. It's a fool's errand.
So why take us with? Why take us on this errand?
This is a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah, they're trying to stimulate an economy that's at nearly full employment. And while the economic growth could be greater, the economists that were surveyed by the University of Chicago about this, there were 38 economists, including some Nobel laureates, that are surveyed as part of their regular panel, and 37 of them said this will have no meaningful impact on the economy. One of them said it would, and all 38 said it would balloon the deficit. Let's not forget, Republicans claimed to care about the deficit once upon a time.
Well, that's my biggest concern on this. If the numbers are right, that it increases deficit spending by $1.5 trillion, every Republican member in both chamber who is railed against deficit spending is a hypocrite then.
Well, and they've said, what I've heard from representatives and members of the legislature that have called in, and I've heard them on Rose's show, I've heard them on John Williams' show saying, consider it borrowing against the deficit in order to create jobs.
It's not going to happen.
But that's the thing. And so, like, you're saying, and they're basically crossing their fingers, hoping, especially if you're saying that CEOs have already said, one, they're not going to hire more people, but they have many of them have said they're going to use the money to buy back shares and to increase their dividends.
Yes, it's for the shareholders.
At the risk of being repetitive, this has never worked in the history of Western democracy.
How about this one? Has this ever happened? Has this ever happened where, you know, they've said, like, it's going to pay for itself? I remember when we went to Iraq, they told us that the war would pay for itself because Cheney said we were going to get all the oil and the war would pay for itself. Anybody? Anyone know if that? Did that happen? No. So the last couple of days, they've said out loud, out of their faces in D.C., this tax bill will pay for itself. How can we never hold these people accountable?
There are about 15 analyses out there, including from a variety of conservative groups. None of them have figured out a way to make these tax cuts pay for themselves. Well, what's really telling is that the Treasury Department has been claiming for months, we're analyzing this, we're working on it. Gary Cohn said we have 100 economists analyzing this thing going back to April. Well, guess what? It turns out this week the Inspector General opened an investigation of the Secretary of the Treasury because, in fact, there is no analysis in the Treasury Department that says they can pay for themselves.
Or there was an analysis done and they buried it to not share it because it wasn't positive.
Oh, here you go. I've got some more information. Let's take a break here because apparently there were some pet projects that were added at the last minute to the tax bill, including a tiny college in Michigan.
There's 220 amendments to the Senate bill.
Okay. You know what? Let's read it during the news. And we're going to read all 500 pages, including the notes in the margins. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. There was a little bit of yelling on the floor of the Senate just a moment ago. Eric, who was that who was mad about the fact that we're turning our backs on those
Mr.
who receive
Wyden.
Medicaid?
Uh-huh. Mr. Wyden, Ron Wyden.
Was angry that they're kind of rushing this through. They're only being given 2 minutes of debate for this? 2 minutes each or 2 minutes full?
No, 2 minutes total.
Well, total. On debate passage. Of 500 pages of a tax bill.
They're voting now on final passage.
They didn't do just 2 minutes of debate on this, though, in fairness. I mean,
when did they debate about 500 pages? When did they get the copy of the bill?
I have no
about
idea.
About 2 hours ago.
Yeah, about 25 minutes before they started the amendments.
The first time I saw it was around 9:30 Chicago time, yeah. Right? So I think they got it around 8:30 local time, somewhere around there. And so is that typical to get a 500-page bill and then call for a vote and also not allow a debate on it, a weekend to read it? I think that Schumer had asked for the weekend. He wanted to table this till Monday.
So John Both McCain made it. Huge.
Right. Well, okay.
John McCain made a huge, huge stink during the health care debate over why can't we go back to regular order? Why can't we go back to regular order? Why can't we have hearings and have experts call in?
And there weren't. There were 25 hearings on Obamacare.
And so John McCain made a big stink about that. And yet on this bill, there was no regular order. There were no hearings. There were no experts that were called. And John McCain's voting for it.
Right.
Like, you cannot... These people who want to whine about things have to actually put their money where their mouth is.
Right.
And the only one doing that right now is Bob Corker.
So Eric was just said a moment ago, this is something that both sides do. So let me, and so I know this, I mean, like, we are completely living in a world of whataboutism. Everything is a what about what Obama did, what about whatever.
Not like
is
this.
There, but no, but, okay, I get
on.
That. But is there, no, hold
no,
on.
Not like
is
this,
there, Eric. Is there, but no, is there a way to not do what about anything right now and say the bill that we have gotten, the 500 pages for tax bill without any, well, this is how it's done. I mean, for everybody, is this the way we want to run our government? Is it, well, that's how they did it. This is how we're going
to
do it
well,
now.
No, you don't want either side
exclusive
to work
of that.
This way.
Is no. there, is can we come to a point where we just in this moment, right now, while they are having their 2 minutes of debate on 500 pages of a tax bill that they want to get rid of the mandate for health insurance, which may throw 13 million people off of health care, is in this moment, this specific bill, is this the way this should be done, Eric?
I would say that to say that it's only 2 minutes is not fair. I mean, this is something that the House has debated for some time. I mean,
With but, no hearings with experts.
But members on both sides have had access to this. To this,
Eric,
measure.
There were no, no, they did not.
No,
they
not
did,
until no, this, it wasn't on. Drafted until tonight.
Eric, if
I love it when you're a Republican, by the way.
How did vote on this if but, they didn't have anything to vote on?
Well, the House but, hasn't I mean, voted on this yet. The House voted on their own bill.
Right.
Right. But so this Senate, is the Senate's bill. So do we know if there's anything material? Is it the same as the House bill then?
No, it's no. So differs it's, substantially.
Yeah, there's going to be differences.
So, okay, so you just mentioned the House bill.
How is it then that senators from both sides of the aisle are offering amendments? A slew of amendments today. If they don't know what in the Sam heck they're amending,
yeah,
so
but, well,
don't
they're also,
tell me they don't know what's in it.
Yeah,
no,
Eric,
Eric, come on. They do not. There were zero hearings.
Doesn't matter,
bill.
Dave.
You, no, it's
you
of course
have worked
it matters.
The legislative process. You have
there
a staff.
Zero,
you have members.
No,
who are
there
going
were zero
this.
Hearings where you could bring experts in.
On
do you know how many hearings
about?
There were on Obamacare before the Republicans complained about the about
None.
The lack of? No, there were 40 hearings with witnesses, expert witnesses. There were no experts that were called before either the House or the Senate to actually have cross examination by members of both parties. This is not. Normal.
So, Dave,
this
I don't
is
want
not
to debate.
How it was done in 1986.
I'm not arguing or defending this bill because I think it is garbage. So let's. What I'm trying to debate with you is process.
Yes,
I have worked this legislative process for years.
Yes.
Don't tell me these folks don't have any idea what they're voting on.
Eric, were there hearings where there were witnesses, expert witnesses, who could come before the Congress and get asked questions?
I have no idea.
No, there weren't.
Okay.
None.
So that means they can't vote on something.
No, they shouldn't be voting on something that is this consequential that will affect every single American taxpayer
but
without hearings in a normal order.
Is,
that's what John McCain said. This time he abandoned it.
Eric?
They know what they're voting on. They know that it's garbage, which makes it that much more damaging that they are doing this. They are putting a $1.5 trillion deficit on the backs of Gen Xers and, you know, their kids and grandkids. I mean, that's
yeah,
what,
I agree with you.
That is the thing that Republicans have talked about for years. They are doing the very thing that they have railed against.
But the Republicans were never serious.
So what
about
Eric's
that.
Answer to you is, and what you guys are arguing about right now, is Eric's telling you they are doing this because they can do it. Should they do it is a different argument. And he's saying that they shouldn't be doing this.
Each
right.
time. I mean, when Harry Reid, when the Democrats had control and they were in the majority, and Harry Reid was Senate Majority Leader, they did things that the Republicans didn't like with regular order and, you know, lighten the tree up to, like, get amendments in. We weren't allowed to offer amendments.
Yes.
I sat through that process.
Yes.
That was very frustrating.
Let's take a caller who listened to you guys yell at each other for a few minutes there. Hey, Glenn, how are you doing tonight?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, of course. Sorry to make you hold on, but I had to let them air that out a little bit.
No.
It's like a good bottle of wine when they have an argument.
We need Eric when he brings his inner Republican out.
Well, and also his experience. He's been there through this process, as you have, but in different responsibilities. Hey, Glenn, what was up? What's up with you?
It's very interesting. First of all, I wonder how many people will remember this on Election Day. And second, you know, if the Republicans get their way and the lower middle class end up getting screwed, but the taxes for the rich are permanent, is there any way if we ever get a Congress and a Senate that knows what they're doing, could that permanent ever be reversed?
That's a great question. Yes.
Yes,
so let's say
yes,
a lot of seats change in 2018, Glenn, I mean, Ken, or like in the next few years, whether it's 2018, 2020. How is this bill affected?
I think what's going to happen is people are going to start to figure it out when they sit down to do their taxes in the spring of 2019, February, March, April 2018.
So it's going to take that long for all this to kick in. So if this passes, we don't see this on our tax forms in 2018.
2018, you'll see reduction in payroll and other sorts of taxes. I believe certain things will take effect. And then when you fill out your taxes in 2019, covering the year 2018 is when it's going to hit you.
Yeah.
And I do think people, if you looked at what happened in Cook County with the soda tax, the revolt that took place here, I do think people in around the country are going to go, wait a second. What did they do a year and a half ago?
I don't think in the history of taxes, you know what, and Eric, this would probably be an interesting study. I don't think the history of anything that's been taxed since T have people had something so tangible to go after. I mean, people just knew that this was something that they liked. They knew where it was coming from. They knew why. They knew that they didn't like the way it was sold to them. I don't think there's been anything since the Boston Tea Party that people went, you will not have this money from me.
Well, see, in both the Senate and House bills, the real estate industry, for example, is doing everything it possibly can to prevent the language that's in each bill now from passing, because they believe that it is going to kill the valuation of homes and dampen down real estate markets.
Right.
I would say, Dave, let's bring this up. The folks who know what is in this bill best are the lobbyists and special interests.
Yeah, because they wrote the bill.
Well, not only that, but did you see that they were getting it before the Democrats were?
Yeah, Democrats didn't know what the list of amendments were.
Yeah.
They had to get it from
the
lobbyists.
Glenn, does this make your head want to explode? I mean, do you want to just...
Well, do you think that it could ever be reversed?
Yes.
I mean, yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as long as people are paying attention. I mean, the thing is, people have to pay attention.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of said in words, you know, that I didn't quite understand. But
yeah,
other question is, when the people vote, won't that be too late?
Well, you're going to have to pay. Taxes are going to be changed for a period of time. What you have to do is make sure that you vote, you study up on the issues, and you vote in your best interest. And if that is to put someone in office that is going to overturn or work to overturn this legislation, then that's what you have to do. And if enough people like you do it, then this thing will be changed in a fairly short period of time. Could be two to six years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Well, my understanding was permanent meant like it was forever.
Well,
it's forever until
until it's changed.
The way it's written is there's no expiration. They've built in an expiration date for everybody else.
Yeah, the individual tax cuts expire. Some of them actually, some of the individual tax cuts for like child credit and some of the other ones that benefit middle and lower class taxes expire by 2022, I believe, or 2023. The ones for the wealthy expire 2027, and the ones for corporations never expire.
Patty?
Yes, right.
I don't know what you're playing in the background.
Yes, that's the roll call, or at least we think they're taking the...
That is the final vote.
Yes.
We heard an alert from ABC News that this is the final vote on the Senate bill.
Yeah.
Okay. This is it.
All right. There you go, Glenn. Let's see how this turns out.
So, yeah, if this passed, then it goes to that.
The House
first House Senate negotiations,
and it still could all fail there because there are about 25 members of the House that are real deficit hawks, and one of the ways you could eliminate this deficit is by increasing the tax on corporations from say 20%, which is in both bills, up to 22%. But everyone has bought into 20. No one will move off of 20%, which means they're looking for other places to raise revenue.
We'll follow this as they take the cut. I don't feel like leaving while they're taking the count. Glenn, have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon.
I mean, the most important
thank
thing
you.
Here is how,
bye, Glenn.
How any conservatives can, you know, vote for this when if for the one process of or issue of it's raising the deficit so much.
Yeah, this isn't crazy. Dan, are they still taking the count, or were they done on the floor for the vote?
They're still doing it.
They're still doing the vote. I'll take the – I just want to hear the – because it's hard for me to leave while they're still doing this. It'd be nice to be live still while they're doing it. Are we still up? Let me see if I have the
– I have it up, yeah. They're just – people are milling around on the floor
they're
now.
Milling around.
Love the mill.
Did you ever think you'd have to watch this kind of video? Is this the most exhilarating thing you've ever watched in the history of being a producer at WGN Radio, Dan Long?
They're on Stabenow, so they're almost through the
– yeah. They're almost through the count. So let's just stay live while they're finishing this up. Don't you think if they're at S, we may as well stay live on that?
I mean, there's no doubt that what comes out of the House and Senate Conference Committee will radically reshape all aspects of American
life. They're at 51-49 right now.
Oh, so, it's already passed. So they don't need any more.
And the only no vote, I'll bet, was Corker.
And I heard that they wanted to make sure that they had more than 50, so they would have to call Pence and have to have him out there and correct. Like have to answer any questions about Flynn or Russia or anything like that. Have him sort
my
of.
My understanding is that he actually did vote.
Did he really?
Pence did vote, according to audio that I'm seeing from ABC.
He's the 51st vote.
Well, you can't
tax
vote.
Bill, VP Pence votes, oh, on amendment. Never
on
mind.
Amendment. Yeah, he'd have to, we need to show up for the right. final bill. Yeah, he'd have to, he'd have to show up for this.
He only votes if it's a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this vote.
Here we go.
The yeas are 51. And the nays are 49.
Shame.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, as amended, is passed.
Wow.
This is a Pyrrhic victory.
And
for
I'm looking at a live video on CNN, and that is Pence making that announcement.
Oh, was it Pence making the announcement? Maybe he did
chair.
Come in. Did
he's
he come in to
chair.
Vote, Eric?
Yeah.
He's in the chair.
He is in the chair.
All right. So there you go. The Senate has, as you just heard live, the Senate has passed the GOP tax cuts and job incentives bill. It now goes on to the House. But now they have to have conversations. They have to have committees, right, to sort of blend these two things together.
One committee
of Conference made up committee. Of House and Senate, right?
And they work out differences and they come with a bill that everyone in the committee agrees to, and then it has to be voted on again by both chambers.
Well, and again, it won't be analyzed before it's voted on.
And then it goes to the president for signature, and it's a done deal, and American life will be radically reformed in all respects.
All right, when we come back, Joe has a question about the deficit growth. So everyone get your economics degree during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me are Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski. It's Freaky Friday. We're not freaking out because it's just that freaky things keep happening. The Senate has just passed the GOP's Senate Tax Cuts and Job Incentives Bill by a vote of 51 to 49. Joe has a question about the economy. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Good, Patty. Yourself?
Very well, thank you, sir. What's going on? What do you want to
say? Super.
What do you want to say?
Mm-hmm. Your guest is, very excited about the potential $1.5 trillion.
Yes, the addition to the deficit. Yes, sir.
Okay. What about the last 8 years? $10 trillion, more than historically speaking. You all know what I'm talking about. If you're looking at GNP, over the last 8 years, we've had an anemic 2% GNP on average, okay? We've already hit 3.3. This goes through, I predict you're going to see an inflammatory growth in the stock market that's already at 24,000.
Right.
Historically speaking, okay?
Okay.
My point is, give it a break.
Okay, would you like to give it a break when it comes to the last 8 years? So the reasons that a lot of the deficit increase was partly because of the federal income that was less than usual. You know, during the recession under Bush, he had tax cuts.
Transition.
And then there was the cost of like things like Social Security. You had Medicare, a lot of other programs that are mandatory that are built into our economy, into our government, into our society. We still had the war on terror. We were fighting wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. So we had a lot of those things going on. Plus, we had the Recovery Act, the Reinvestment Act, in order to put more Americans back to work.
And the Bush tax cuts.
Two
Bush tax cuts in the middle of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
I mean, military spending was what, like over $800 billion? So right there you have so much of that going into it.
You look at the statistics of how many ships we have in the Navy right now,
mm-hmm.
how many aircraft that are flyable. The deficit we have in pilots, the statistics as well as I do. If you are cognizant of what's going on, we're still at a very, very marked deficit. My point is, if you look at GNP potentially going to 5-6%,
it's not going to.
There is not a single economist in the country that says it's going to do that. Joe, let me just interrupt for 1 second.
GNP or GDP?
No, he means the GDP growth.
GDP
is going to go to 5 or 6%.
We're not
China.
I understand where Joe is coming from. I think One of the reasons why we're focused on the deficits is because the hallmark of the Republican Party for most of my life, as far back as I can remember, was they didn't like deficits. They fought hard against even one penny of additional deficit.
Precisely.
And this is kind of extraordinary. And it's built on a fallacy. There is a belief that trickle down tax cuts for the wealthy and the rich lead to better life for those at the lower end of the capitalist ladder. It has never happened in the history of Western democracy anywhere in the world. Never. Reagan thought that was their plan. It didn't work. Now, in most cases, when you do this, when you attempt to do a trickle down, you do it when the economy is not doing well. High unemployment, somewhat of a recession to try to stimulate. We're almost at full employment. The economy is doing reasonably well. So there's a lot of things about this that it's why I call this a solution in search of a problem. I let's see what happens. Elections have consequences. The country spoke a year ago. This is one of the consequences. Some will like this. Some will not. I'm of the opinion in 2 years from now, if the GDP grows the way you think it's going to grow, I'm going to be very happy. We're all going to be happy. It has never happened ever in the history of the world. I understand where you're coming from. Give it a break. I get it.
And just the way I would say give it a break give it a break means what? Stop talking about it, Joe? I'm just curious.
Joe said give it a break.
No, I understand that. I'm asking you, Joe, give it a break meaning I shouldn't talk about it?
No, au contraire. I'm all for open discussion. That's why I appreciate your program. I tuned in 10 minutes ago, just whatever. And I said, I got to tune in on this one. I love open, logical conversation.
Right.
Okay. Where I disagree with some people is, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'll be the first person to admit, I don't know. I'm looking at indicators.
Joe, one of the things we talked about earlier, I know if what these guys have been telling me as far as the deductions, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to make a lot more money when these tax cuts hit. That doesn't mean that I think that this is the right bill. The numbers are crazy to me. It doesn't make any sense.
Patty, let me interject one thing.
I ain't going to hire anybody.
Okay, good.
It's not good, Joe.
About that. They're going to buy back stock.
Joe, I'm not going to hire anybody. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to save that for my future. I'm going to reinvest that in the things that are important to me as far as like stocks and my retirement income. And
I actually might hire someone.
I have no debt. I owe nothing. I owe no property. I don't own it because my mom owns a property. I don't have any. I owe nothing on our cars. They're all used cars. I live very cheaply. I mean, sometimes I have a good time and buy more chocolates and wine. I just, I live below my means.
Well, Joe, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
At what point? Okay, let's obviously if it does well, you're going to be very happy.
Sure.
At what point do you cut bait on this and say that's it? You know, these guys got to go. They did America a disservice.
You mean the current regime?
Well, not necessarily the current regime, but they've now completely transformed American life. What's going to come out of committee, the conference, and what will ultimately become law is going to transform every aspect of American life. So how long do you yourself give it in which you're looking for that growth? At what point do you say, you know what, this just isn't going to work?
Gotcha. Okay, repatriation. Estimates I've heard 2 to 4 to 5 trillion, okay? I think that's going to happen. 10%, if that remains solid, there's no reason in the world why a GE, major companies, aren't going to bring back dollars to the U.S.
What if it doesn't happen, though? How long are you going to give the process to work?
I heard your question. After the 18 election.
You're
going to see the trends.
All right, Joe. I'm gonna hold you to that because I know these conversations. I love that you put a date on it.
Joe, write it down. Please call us next year.
Joe will call us next week.
Elections.
I don't.
Okay. Yeah. At the tail end of 18. Okay?
Yeah, of course. Joe, I got to run the news. Always good to hear from you. Have a good night. Thank you. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me are Dave Lundy. Well, first, let's talk to Dave Lundy about his Monday night event. You didn't get to do your Touche segment with Justin
Kaufman.
No, we were
Monday.
So you post on Facebook and engage some of your you know, friends who are on the other side politically.
Yes, from time to time.
And you have one friend, and we don't say any names because that's for other people to track down and maybe go through your feed, Dave Lundy on Facebook. But you had one friend who bet $50 that Roy Moore would bow out of the race about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And you were able to collect that money. You actually were holding it for the two individuals who were betting. He didn't bet you.
Actually, the winner of the bet had given me his money. The loser of the bet never gave me his. Well, we didn't run into each other.
Yeah, but your friend came down to your office specifically.
Yes,
I saw the picture.
He came down to my office, and it's still sitting in my drawer. But the loser of the bet did pay off.
Okay.
He paid the bet.
The loser paid.
And that
was donated, I believe, to the Doug Jones campaign.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was donated to the Doug Jones campaign.
Was it seriously?
Seriously. Yeah, my buddy Peter, who won the bet, said, yeah, I'm going to take the Republicans' money and give it to Doug Jones, which I thought was poetic justice. But I didn't think there was a snowball's chance in hell that Roy Moore was going to drop out.
No.
That was a crazy bet on his part. For the record, I begged him to bet me about Trump versus Clinton last year, and I was willing to give him odds.
How much were you willing to bet?
I was willing to bet him, I don't remember. I said, look, $100.
And he didn't take it.
He kept yammering, and he wouldn't. I said, put your money where your mouth is, and he never would. So he wouldn't take that bet, but he made the stupid Roy Moore bet.
I think he got to make
a double loser.
He should have made a Flynn bet. Why didn't you make a – go ahead.
How much did we bet in 2008? Or,
which
no,
you
2006.
Still haven't paid up.
No, I still haven't. I bet the Obama – what
we bet $500.
You thought McCain would win?
Plus T-shirts.
No?
Plus T-shirts.
No, you thought Hillary was going to win?
I had Hillary.
No.
In the primary?
No, so actually, it wasn't that. It was that I bet Ken in December of 2006, okay? December of 2006.
Yep.
I said Barack Obama is going to win the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, remember, this is 2006. Like
at the time, Hillary was way ahead in the polls.
He hadn't even formally declared. That didn't happen until February 2017. Hillary was dominant, and Ken and I made this bet, and... instantly after we made the bet, he sent me this epic email, which I will be happy to pull up during the next break.
It was an epic.
It was epic. In which he essentially said, I'm willing to let you make $100 or $200 by buying you out of the rest of this bet.
Yeah, I said, send me a check for $300.
Bet you made.
Yeah, I said, okay, so we now have a bet for $500. Now you can send me a check for $400 and you make $100. Because you don't have to pay me the $5 that you're going to have to pay me, but I'll let you get out of the bet for $400.
Just send it.
But that wasn't actually the best part. The best part was he said, and by the way, when he did this whole elaborate email and said that the loser, that would be you, Dave, will have T-shirts printed up for the winner.
Wow, this is
that
elaborate.
It was wildly elaborate. That will say that Dave Lundy, because you will be the loser, Dave, knows nothing about politics, and that Ken Jacobowski, the winner, that would be me, is a political savant. And so this whole elaborate thing.
We've never actually paid off on this.
You, Mr. Gambler, you have not yet paid.
Yeah, it's
for
true.
This.
It's true. I never have.
Eric, have you ever had any of these bets?
Is the juice still going or what?
yeah, exactly. At this big point, you owe me about $1,027.
You know, I honest to God, I was never on the Barack Obama coolness train. I just never could get on it.
Thank you.
I never could get. I was Hillary back then. At the time, I thought it was the right move.
I remember getting in an argument with my mom. My mom is a big fan of Hillary's, and I told her, I said, there's just no way.
Well, I was on Hillary back then, but not this time.
Right.
I mean, 2 years before the election, Dave and I were at lunch with another political friend of ours, and I think I surprised both of them by telling them that under no circumstances is Hillary ever going to be elected president of the United States. Democrats have made a big mistake.
Yes, actually, here it is.
Oh, my God.
He still has my email from 2006 in December.
I have archived emails, yes.
Wow. Eric, have you ever done this before where you had, like, a huge bet with somebody over politics? No. All right, Dave, let's get to the juicy parts.
I'll just read you this part.
This is what I wrote to you, correct?
In 2008.
Dave, I propose that we amend the wager in such a way that the loser of said wager, paren, that will be you, will be required to send an email stating the following to an email list to be developed solely by the winner of the wager in his sole discretion, which will be me. Number one, Ken Jakubowski is a genius. Number two, Ken Jakubowski is an American icon.
Wow.
Number three, Ken Jakubowski is a political savant. Number four, Dave Lundy is not a serious person. Number five, Dave Lundy knows nothing of American politics. Number six, Dave Lundy is a follower, not a leader. Anyway,
that
was my email. From there,
that's my email.
What kind of time did you have?
Hillary let us down. It would have been great if Hillary
Ken's
won.
Emails, he does this kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's because he didn't have kids then either. He didn't have a daughter.
I did not have a child then, and it was before cancer, so I had a lot of brain power.
Yes, and it was. And he said, buy me out for $201.
Okay.
I don't understand what's happening. You guys are funny.
Very funny.
312-981-7200. Have you ever had a bet as ridiculous as these two gentlemen have shared with us?
I won. He just didn't pay up.
I've kind of avoided the conversation.
How does Ken pay up? I mean, I think he's got to pay up.
I agree. I think WGN Radio.
You would have paid up your end of the bet.
Of course, I would have paid up.
Yeah, what is the problem?
I wouldn't
have
done the T-shirts, but
this is
what I mean, paid up.
Who doesn't pay? Come on, Ken.
I would have done.
Dude, you should have given me the odds. It was a sucker bet, and you know I didn't demand odds because I'm not a professional the way Ken is.
Oh, boy.
You're not a political savant.
So again,
you're not a serious
person. To reiterate, I believe Ken bet that Obama was not going to win the primaries.
I bet Obama primary. Against the field.
Yeah.
And so
against the field, so it didn't even matter who it was.
Oh yeah, no,
against
I said
against the field.
Yeah,
didn't even matter. You
no.
didn't even.
No. I'm sorry, Dave Lundy, not a serious person. That would be you, Ken.
Wow. More with these not serious people when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. A little disappointed that my guests have not made a bigger dent in the Halloween candy my mother told me to take to the studio tonight. She's like, I didn't tell you to bring it. You came down to my apartment and you said, where's the Halloween candy? But I you know what? I don't think you should hold on to Halloween candy during the Christmas season. Oof. I think that you...
I mean, it's like back-to-back-to-back sweets.
Oh, my God. There's so much
good
stuff.
From October until New Year's.
Do you know I've never been to Kindle Market?
High.
I've never been to the Kindle Market. Have you guys been to the...
I haven't.
I've walked through it
many times. I've never gone to the
What's
Kindle...
What's the Kindle Market?
See, okay,
it's
I feel
Daly
better.
Plaza.
Yeah. Well, there's
they
now...
They have one at Wrigley.
That's what I heard last night.
Really?
Walk up the block. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
There's one at Wrigley. So the Kindle Market, is it like little Christmas shops and food and drinks and stuff? I've never
And they
been.
Have the ice rink set up over there.
They're going to do it outside where...
At the park.
In that little plaza
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
Oh, that might be cool.
That's right by you. It's not too far, right?
Yeah, not too far.
We haven't done one of our political brunches lately. We needed to go to Knife and Tine soon.
I just drove by there and thought of that.
Such a good food. Best food in the city. It's some of my favorite food in the city of
Chicago.
Well,
we can talk about what happened in the city of Chicago in the last 48 hours. I think it was 48 or 72.
It feels like, it feels so much Luis Gutierrez.
Luis Gutierrez, not running.
Yeah. I am enjoying.
Rahm's only serious opponent now running, elevated to run for Congress. All the other folks are running for those. I mean, it was.
Can I tell you my favorite thing about all this? My favorite thing is listening to broadcasters because I say my name Vasquez. It's just I try to make it sound simple, but I'm enjoying people saying Gutierrez and Garcia and Rosa. It's very. I mean, like
rolling those R's.
It is. I like Pearson. If you hear his promo, he's like Gutierrez and Chuy Garcia. It's fun. I'm enjoying this a lot. There's a lot of Latinos in this one. There's another woman, I think, is it Iris Solis, who is also running? She's throwing her hat in the ring as well.
For which? For his county commission seat or
Sol
for Congress?
Flores.
I got it all wrong. Yeah. Iris. Who's Iris?
You're thinking of Iris Martinez.
So many. See what I did
She's
there?
She's not running.
I'm not running either, by the way. Vasquez, not running.
No.
Sanchez, maybe.
Lundy? No, no.
Jewish
That's because
guy?
You're not
the
a Jew.
Jewish
is not,
guy?
The Jew is not running in the fourth, just to be clear.
The Jewish gentleman in the Latino
By
race.
By the way, one of our texters asks, one texter said, did that bet email come from a private email server?
is that illegal?
I don't know. I hope not.
Is that what they're asking?
And then another texter said, how about they wager on the Democratic candidate for the next presidential election?
There's no horses in this race.
Governor of the state of Washington, I think, is going to run. The mayor of L.A. is going to run.
What about
the governor
Klobuchar?
Of New York is going to run.
Okay, well, these are all
You
dudes.
Know who I know is not going to run? Al Franken.
I'll tell you who else is not going to run. John Conyers.
Yeah.
How about Klobuchar? No.
She doesn't do anything for me. No.
I'm going to tell you right now, that don't sound right anymore. Hey,
yeah, it doesn't, no. But politically, same with Elizabeth Warren. Politically, I don't know.
I think there are people who are suited for their jobs, and I think that Elizabeth Warren is suited for a job, so maybe Klobuchar also. I mean, suited in the job in the sense that there are people who are good legislators. There are good people who duke it out on the floor, who, you know, are good about talking about bills and amendments, whereas the leader of the free world, I mean, you know, President Obama probably wasn't as good as a legislator as he was as a leader. But Donald Trump, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about
how Gutierrez.
He's
going to run.
Can I say, as a Latino,
I'm pretty sure he's going to run.
I've always felt that he was a blowhard. I've always, as a Jew,
I always did too.
So we're not allowed to say those things. That's
as a Romanian
Pole.
You
know, it's very telling.
It's telling.
It's very telling.
Ever since the article that John Cass wrote in the 90s
about
Gutierrez's house in Bucktown.
And the fact he wasn't paying like property taxes.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about John Cass's office?
It was zoned for zero.
Can I tell you that I may or may not have... You know what we should do after we're done with the show?
What?
We should show you John Cass's office.
Do what to John Cass's
office? I should show it to you.
Uh-oh.
It's not pretty. I may or may not have been in the Tribune offices. Apparently, they don't lock doors up there. I thought it was the mail room. I thought it was like the excess mail room. Oh. I thought that they couldn't find where these packages go. I thought that they were hoarding. I thought that maybe they just like dump stuff in this closet.
And the closet was John Cass's office.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Does he have a button under his desk to lock the door like Matt Lauer?
I couldn't find it if he did. Okay. So what were you saying about John Cass' piece that he wrote about Gutierrez?
I was relatively new to the city, and I read this article about this congressman who had this house in Bucktown, and it was zoned for zero property taxes. And I remember driving past it. It was a beautiful house on a corner. It was like a $350,000 home at the time. It's probably worth put a zero after that now. But it was zoned for zero property taxes at the time.
I actually remember
what
that
amazing coincidence that a U.S. congressman who used to be an alderman, who used to be involved in the real estate committee.
How do you get zoned for zero property taxes?
I think you're actually...
It's Chicago!
Astonishingly enough, I remember this, maybe because I've only read like six Cass columns in my life.
Yes, I agree
and
with
that
you.
Was one of them.
Yes.
And I remember that it was not zoned for zero, but he had gotten like these huge property tax breaks.
It was like, right.
I don't think it was zero.
It may have been like a couple hundred bucks or something.
It was small, ridiculous. Yeah. But in any event, so Congressman Gutierrez is going to be running for president.
Wait, who?
Congressman Gutierrez.
Oh, that was good. Yeah. That was better than mine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know.
I can never speak the language, but I always could do the accent.
No puedo también. Yeah.
I actually think his running is going to be good for the body politic as a whole, because I tend to think he's going to bring into politics a number of folks that haven't been participating. I think he can really energize the Latino community.
I agree.
So I think it'd be positive. I'm not sure he can build a coalition beyond that.
Are you saying that Gutierrez is the most high-profile Latino we have in the United States that can run for that office that would generate enthusiasm?
You know, he's been
because
out.
He's not. Let's go back to your bet, right? And the reason that you thought that Obama could beat the field,
right.
There was a reason behind that. Gutierrez is not that guy.
No, well, but the
and
reason-
not like and I don't even think as and again I can't speak for the entire Latino community, but I don't know that he's the guy.
But
no,
Patty,
look, it was,
go ahead, Dave.
Well, the reason I thought Obama. Because I originally was of the, he's not going to run, don't be serious. And then when the Iraq War thing happened, I just thought Obama was the perfect candidate for the moment.
Okay.
And so I felt that deep in 2006. I'm not so sure that, Luis Gutierrez in many ways is right for the anti-Trump. He will be galvanizing anti-Trump on the immigration stuff, but I don't think he's...
I think that, no, because you know why? And it's because of the what people voted for Trump for was they didn't want the establishment politicians. And Gutierrez is a great example, just from what you just said about his property taxes, an establishment politician.
But
yes,
can
Eric.
I just raise one point that I think is kind of interesting on this? And that is that... Congressman Gutierrez is Puerto Rican descent, or
yes,
and Chuy Garcia is Mexican.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and I think that's an interesting distinction right
it
now.
It is. It is.
Just because the way the population is in the city in terms of the Mexican population.
Well,
Chicago has the second largest Mexican population in the United States. Second only to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
yes.
I think You can't make the mistake that Democrats did in assessing Marco Rubio. They thought Marco Rubio was going to get all the Latino votes. Well, Marco Rubio is from Cuba.
That's what Eric is saying.
I never said that.
Except
no, but Eric's saying is there's a distinction in the Latino community where it's not
there's,
a
there's no question about that.
Not a galvanized block.
No, there's no question. But Gutierrez has been the guy in Congress for at least a decade. That he used to stand right next to Ted Kennedy, leading the fight from the House for immigration reform.
Yeah, and I don't think that the opposite of what's going on now is immigration reform. I honestly don't. I think that one of the reasons that Trump won is because of immigration. People really, I mean, they were angry at McCain for going soft on immigration. They loved it. His first speech was about that wall, was about Mexico sending their rapists and their drug dealers, and that's all Mexico does is send people with problems. The opposite is not pro-immigration. I'm sorry, it's not.
The problem is he may be 4 years too late or 5 years too late to kind of run on that platform.
Or 15 years too early.
Yes.
More after this on 720 WGN. I should have sent a list to my guests. There was a list that was passed on to me, and you know, we'll maybe do some more research on this next week so that we have more information and we can address this more fully. I know that we're getting a text from a listener who wants to know where their station from 50 years ago is. Hi, my name is Patty Vasquez, and I was born in Chicago, grew up on the Northwest Side, actually Norwood Park to be specific. My father was a Republican precinct captain. My mother immigrated here from Mexico in 1973, and I love my city, and I love talking politics. We only actually do it on Friday nights. If you hear something that sounds like it's trashing or going against the candidate or the politician that you like, we're talking about the news of the day. So there's not really anything I can do about that except maybe, you know, hopefully they'll do something that is less newsworthy and we don't have to talk about it. But in the meantime, that's what we're talking about. The Senate has passed a bill that we've been talking about for the last hour or so. We also have a listener who sent a list to the station, and it was passed along to my producers, and they want to know about the bills that Donald Trump has passed. Now, I think it's important also for people to take into account the fact that the president cannot pass a bill. I believe if we do some of our how government works and how a bill... But for today, I am only a bill. Little Schoolhouse Rocks. The legislature passes the bill. The legislative branch of the government passes bills. The House and the Senate have to agree, and then they send it along to the president, who then what, Dave?
Signs or vetoes, Patty.
Correct. So the government works that way. We have judicial, executive, and legislative branches, and the president has not passed any bills. He has signed executive orders.
Yes, he's issued many
and reversed some executive orders. Yes.
Well, and most of the executive orders that he's issued have very little teeth.
So here are some of the bills that someone would like us to address. There's the H.R. 321 Women Act. There's the S-442 National Aeronautics and Space Administration Transition or Authorization Act. Resolution 58. By the way, a resolution, everybody? Can we address what a resolution is, Dave?
It's an opinion of Congress.
Nullify teacher prep issues rule under Teacher Quality Enhancement of the Higher Education Act of 1965. So is this list sounding familiar to anybody?
You know, I'm trying to remember during the presidential campaign when Donald Trump talked about that on the stump. Yeah, no, sorry.
Actually, one of these, and Daniel, I think that Daniel's going to have to call in sometime because the GOP tax plan actually just passed today, and this was sent to the station on Wednesday. So he wrote a GOP tax plan, lowest rate for small businesses in 80 years. As of Wednesday, that hadn't passed and has not yet passed. And Dave?
And by the way, the largest small business organization, the NFIB, opposes this legislation because it's terrible for small businesses.
So there's that. S-40, I don't know what S is. I guess it's Senate Bill.
Senate Bill,
SB
yeah.
544 amends the Veterans Access Choice and Accountability Act, which modifies reimbursement and cost recovery procedures.
Well, each of these bills and the resolution that you've mentioned are seismic in the way in which they will affect Americans in their lives.
You're being sarcastic.
Absolutely, I'm being sarcastic. These are some of the most picayune pieces of legislation that you can imagine.
And he says that 400 bills have been passed in 10 months.
Yeah, here's the thing. I can pass 400 bills that are meaningless, you know, celebrating National Flag Day and, naming a post office. That's not what the president ran on.
If this is true, are there 16 human trafficking acts that have been passed?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Okay.
My guess is that they're, I know that that's something that they have been working on. Senator McCain's wife, Cindy, this is a huge issue for her. And I know that the last probably 5 years, 6 years, I remember, especially around the time of the Super Bowl, you hear them talking a lot about this in terms of trying to really crack down on the cities that are hosting the Super Bowl, because apparently there's a lot of,
oh gosh, in those
activity.
Cities, yeah, there's a spike in that sort of.
Yeah, I mean, it's something one of my sisters works on a lot, and yeah, I mean, it's a huge issue here. And you know, the Chicago was ranked the number one or number two cities in the country for human trafficking.
Has the Trump administration taken this on as a platform, as something that was addressed and touted as something that he was going to work very hard toward ameliorating?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. So, and I can't speak on behalf of the administration.
I think it would be noteworthy.
I certainly haven't seen a tweet from the president on it.
So those are some of the things I wanted to make sure that people who are concerned about the conversation that we have their concerns addressed. And so we have addressed the listener who wants to know where their radio station from 50 years ago went. I wish Jack Benny were still on the air. You know, when he's getting robbed, and the thief says, "Your money or your life."
I'm thinking.
It was a much longer pause.
People also they need to listen carefully what we're doing. We aren't criticizing the president for the most part on policy. There hasn't been much policy to criticize him on. What I am concerned about is the fact that he's been a national embarrassment and he's diminished our standing around the globe and he does it continuously. That's what I'm concerned about. We haven't even gotten to much policy yet.
And that's the other reason why we don't talk politics until Friday night. And it's really because if I did it every day, you can't wrap your mind around some of the things.
The stories coming out are just insane.
And Eric, would you say this is not normal? This is not how a country is run. How humanity should be really kind of conducted.
No. When Dave and I were walking in, we were talking about how the president's been undercutting Secretary of State Tillerson. I mean, and he's getting ready to go on a European trip, perhaps. And I don't know how he does that with his legs basically being cut from underneath them.
Oh, not anymore, though. That's the winner of the day is Rex Tillerson.
Yeah.
Yes. He
absolutely
got a tweet.
Loves Michael Flynn, because Michael Flynn, pleading guilty today, forced the president to keep Rex Tillerson on. So he's going to be on for a while longer, got a nice lunch, got a good tweet from the president.
All the heat's off of him.
Pressure's off.
Can we talk about the Michigan Attorney General candidate who did that ad this week?
How about that? How can we make that your tell me something good?
Sure.
I'll make it your something good.
Sure.
We have to do what's that from, because we're getting close to running out of time. Thankfully, it's a scene none of us knows, so we have no investment emotionally. This is, you're going to play the cue for us. I want to make sure people know to call in.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of
What's That From?
312-981-7200. When you know what that's from, you will win a gift card from Apple Electronics. They've been pleasing people since 1936, and you can visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. 312-981-7200. And Roger?
Yeah.
This is your picking.
Yes, I have a surprise at the end.
Your select.
Ooh, a surprise.
Okay, that's what Conyer said. All right,
as they say on stage, hold the applause.
All right, we will hold the applause. All right, hold the applause, everyone. Okay. Roger, take it away.
External in daytime, medium close shot, Waverly, Bob, and Phil. Waverly is looking interestedly at the goings-on, but is puzzled. The boys exchange a glance.
I'm not clear about some of it. Explain it again.
Well, sir, we have this show, and we laid off for the holidays. You see, business was bad.
I know about business being bad. Go on.
Yes, sir. Well, so we figured as long as we had the opportunity, we'd do a little rehearsing. Right here.
Why here?
There's a hint here of the general. Phil looks to Bob for help as they move towards the lobby. The troupe is busy transporting the costumes, etc., for the moving van to the dining room auditorium as the above scene is played.
Well, sir, this nice empty room, the minute we looked at it, we said it was ideal, didn't we?
That's what we said. Ideal.
And then we'll have an audience to play to. You see, sir, you need an audience on which to try out your new material.
Where are you going to get the audience?
Oh, what guests there are in the other hotels. They're pretty bored here without snow, and in New York, show is kind of a novelty in Vermont.
I would think so. How will they know you're here?
Oh, word gets around.
Yes, sir. And we also took the girls twice around the town for a little run. They were stiff from the train in their practice clothes.
It makes the blood circulate.
Hmm, whose blood?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, there must be a lot about show business I don't understand.
It'll come to you, sir.
It just takes a little time.
We wouldn't be any good as generals.
You weren't any good as privates.
He was an officer, sir.
Only to confuse the enemy.
He turns away and goes to his quarters. Interior in kitchen, medium shot, nighttime. We pan to Betty, to the refrigerator door, which she opens.
Tuna fish on the lower shelf.
Betty whirls around. Medium shot, Betty and Bob. We see Bob is having a snack of his own.
Oh.
What are you doing? Sleepwalking?
I couldn't sleep.
Little young for that, aren't you?
He gets up and goes to the refrigerator. His preoccupation with the food will permit Betty's expression to be more obvious than her lines, which are spoken to tell the audience of her regard for Bob, since their significance must escape him.
What shall I make you?
Anything'll do.
If you tell me what you want to dream about, I'll know what to make you.
How's that?
Different foods make for different dreams. I've got a whole theory about it. It's called the Wallace Way of Wishful Wooing. You'll find it in the American Medical Journal under W. Ham and Swiss cheese, for instance. You get a cool, thin, blonde girl. Turkey sandwich, you get a dark, sort of stumpy girl. Sexy, though. Now, a liverwurst sandwich. He shakes his head. You get both girls at once. Bad night.
What do you dream on tuna?
Darndest thing. I'd dream about me.
Then I'll have a tuna sandwich.
Bob doesn't get the significance of what she has said.
Now that's very flattering. Tuna coming right up.
He is occupied at the Frigidaire while she watches him yearningly.
Let me make you some warm milk. That'll help the insomnia.
No, it won't.
Looking straight at his back.
Warm milk won't do it.
Whatever you've got on your mind isn't worth staying awake for.
I think it is.
He smiles at her, oblivious to the meaning behind her lines, and begins to sing.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. And I fall asleep counting my blessings.
Oh, man.
And scene.
Wow. One of my dad's favorites when I was young. That song, at least. I saw the other version of this movie when I was little, and one of my favorite movies is the other one. I have to see this one. I think they're showing it at the Music
Box.
Wait,
you haven't seen this one?
I've never
ever?
Seen this
You've
one.
Never seen
Pat, yell at me. Pat, yell at me for not seeing which movie?
White Christmas.
Yes, I've never seen.
I thought it was Star Wars.
If you keep going with that, one of these days you're going to get a winner.
That's amazing, Pat.
How have you gotten away without watching White Christmas ever?
I'm going to. You know what? I might watch that one tomorrow. I think I'm going to watch tomorrow or Sunday. I got to watch that movie.
I will watch it with you.
Okay.
And I will bring the Kleenex.
All right. We can watch it in the green room. We can do a movie night next Friday. Next Friday night.
I'll come in early.
Who's bringing the popcorn?
Oh, we're all bringing the popcorn. We'll get some Garrett's. Do that.
Ooh.
Pat.
I'm in.
Pat, we've got a gift card for you. You know what? I haven't given out any gift cards from After Electronics, so I'm going to give one to Pat and to Tom, who's on hold as well. He also called in with the correct answer. Pat, who do you like better in this movie, Danny Kaye or Bing Crosby?
Oh, gosh. That's tough. I like Danny Kaye a lot.
Yeah.
And I also liked him in Hans Christian Andersen.
Oh, sure.
But Bing Crosby, you can't beat him. I mean, he's just Bing Crosby.
Is he the same character? I mean, have you seen the Holiday Inn as well?
Yes, I have.
So is it the same thing? Is Danny Kaye playing the Fred Astaire character? Or is it?
It's been so long since I've seen it, though.
It's a completely different setup.
Good. So
it
really is. Because Fred's kind of a jerk in Holiday Inn. I mean, like, he comes around, but he's a little manipulative in Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
I saw Holiday Inn, but it's been so long, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Well, Pat, congratulations. How soon did you know into the script that it was White Christmas?
When they started to mention moving the show, and as soon as they said the word general.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, well, I'm so glad that you called in tonight. We've got a gift card for you from Apt Electronics. Again, they've been pleasing people
Thank you.
Of course. And say hi to Steve Shapiro, will you? He's our guy. He can help you out with anything.
I sure will.
All right. Have a great night, Pat Hall, on the line so that Dan Long can take your information. Tom, you hang on, too, because we're giving you a gift card. It's Christmas, and you called in with the right answer. Tom, how you doing? Hey, Tom.
Hello, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. I wanted to give you the gift card as well because you called in. It was, like, just right on top of Pat's call, but she just got, like, just beat you barely.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you.
My pleasure. Hold on the line, and Dan will get your information in just a moment. Merry Christmas. Well, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. What do you say, like, in the holidays? It's just festive. It's Festivus for the rest of us.
Ooh. I say happy holidays.
That's okay.
Except on Christmas, in which case I'll say Merry Christmas.
Very good. Should I take Hanukkah off?
No. Hanukkah starts before all of that.
I know, but Hanukkah, the beginning of Hanukkah is next week, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 days.
Yeah, actually, my birthday falls on a Friday this year.
Oh.
Come to think of it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Will you be here?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, hold on and we'll give you some. You know what? Let me find some candy for you.
Yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez.
Together as a park.
720 WGN. I want to thank Dan Long for producing the show tonight. It's a pleasure working with you tonight, sir. It's been a while. We haven't been able to hang out. I get nervous making you sweat about the top of the hour, the billboards.
As long as we get everything in under the bell, we're good.
All right, we're under the bell. By the way, Dan Long introduced me to one of our longest running guests since when I was just auditioning for this show. He introduced me to John Tatey, who was at the time the senior editor for the AV Club.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't forget these things, Dan. Just saying. So thank you so much for filling in tonight, and it's been a pleasure working with you, and I look forward to doing it again, because I know Michael probably have some nights off.
Likewise, yeah.
Excellent. And by the way, thank you to Susan Dannenberger for the lovely wine tonight, for our wine and wine down. Dave, you wanted to bring up something about a race going on in Michigan, an attorney general who's running for office, and her ad campaign is basically like, just vote for the vajayjays.
Yeah, Dana Nessel is a...
No, seriously.
She
really
is. Dana Nessel is a Democrat running for Michigan Attorney General. She wants to elect more women, which I fully support. But so she did this video ad, and the video... Well, I'm just going to read a little bit of this.
You can use a word, by the way. It's a biological term, so
yes.
Go ahead. Yes. It's an ad.
In the last few weeks, if the last few weeks have taught us anything, it's that we need more women in positions of power, not less. By the way, she should have said fewer. But anyway, not less. So when you're choosing Michigan's next attorney general, ask yourself this. Who can you trust most not to show you their penis in a professional setting? Is it the candidate who doesn't have a penis? I'd say so. Anyway, she goes on from there.
Yes.
So
that's it's ear catching.
But she didn't really do it in, like, it was hard to go, is this supposed to be funny? Is this not supposed to be funny? Because went full serious at times, and she didn't really kind of deliver it in a way that made you go, like, okay, this is tongue in cheek. So,
well, Senator, by the way, Senator Biss, I think, has had some interesting campaigns.
He has a penis, for the record.
He does. I'm sure he's happy that you clarified
that
for him.
All the candidates for governor in Illinois.
As someone working for the Pritzker campaign, I'm sure he's glad that you clarified that and are willing to say so on the record.
I do not work for the Pritzker campaign.
Oh, you don't?
No. No,
you're friends.
I can't. No, I do not do anything for the campaign because I still represent his foundation.
I didn't realize that.
Chinese wall.
Chinese wall. Yeah, no, I don't touch the campaign.
He just talks to the candidate.
Yeah.
Matt, does any of this make any sense to you?
Well, no. I want to know how you can verify that they all have penises.
Oh, good point.
Because there hasn't been a lineup.
Unless they show you.
If they're sending you pictures, then you've got other problems.
I have been in Springfield, and I have watched the senator go into the men's room. Now, that does not verify a penis.
This is in North Carolina.
I have not checked. Just to be clear, I have not done a hands-on examination.
The comments and thoughts of Dave Lundy do not represent the Pretty Late Show.
At 2 a.m.
At no point do you take the word of Dave Lundy in any regards to the ownership of a penis by any senators in the legislative branch.